You are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay first aired on July 6, 1984.
Hi, I'm John Weeks, and this is The Nature of Things, a program about the world we live in, presented by FM 90 and the Rice Creek Field Station, a unit of the State University College at Oswego. We've reached a time in The Nature of Things when the wild garden of woodland flowers may have run its course in your back 40. If so, I urge you to focus on the beauty now invading the open fields and road's edge. Sometimes we look with disdain at the abandoned fields and roadside ditches. When the farmer or landscaper no longer is husbanding an acre, it seems to lose most, if not all, of its virtue. Still, what escapes plow, mower, and scraper can provide a bucolic display of great beauty. Consider the recently abandoned cornfield, still ridged with lines of plow or cultivator. Within a year or two, a sea of white, pale pink, or magenta blooms, looking on close inspection like a fragile, open-faced hollyhock, will appear. The plant follows the tillage lines, a secondary, unintended product of the land husbandry. As the furrows disappear, the flowers die out, replaced by hardier perennials. These are musk mallow, a relative of hollyhock and hibiscus. Occasionally, liberally sprinkled through the rows of mallow, we'll find the stately yellow blooms of moth mullein. These have to be examined at close range with magnifying glass to be really appreciated. Each bloom is a work of art. Invading the haylot is another group of field beauties, dominated by the ox-eyed daisy, the graduation flower it was known as in my youth. Mixed as it often is with vetch and red clover, it forms the matrix for a wild sampler that I find very pleasing. Yet I've talked to people who have never noticed a simple pattern of white, gold, royal purple, and magenta. As one told me, I don't go around looking at old hay fields. Too bad. I hope most of you do once in a while. In my travels, I often pass a low-lying pasture where skunk cabbage and marsh marigold fill the wettest stretches in early spring. Now, the drier, closer crop portions of the field are invested with a thin veil of pale gold, a shallow sea of buttercups. I don't know why they escape the grazing of the cows. Perhaps the specific name, acris, bitter, explains it. Like the other plants mentioned here, its resistance to environmental disturbance explains its ability to survive in an unstable setting. In our quest for beauty of field, we might turn our attention to the road shoulders. Just beginning to open in these settings are two of the showiest of all field flowers, the daylily and the cornflower, also known as chicory. As the name implies, the daylily does its blooming one day at a time. From June through August, every daylily will show a sequence of buds and faded blooms becoming seed pods, but only one full-blown burnt orange blossom. Some people describe them as common, but I admire their toughness, their ability to withstand plowing and mowing and other roadside disturbances. And I say that shaded roadsides come to life when they are lucky enough to catch an infusion of daylily. Buds and flowers are good to eat, too, especially marinated or dipped in batter and sautéed. Chicory is another tough, resilient beauty. Its sky blue blooms are favorites of mine. But to see them at their best, you have to be an early riser. Once a neighbor called me to help her solve a mystery. I was driving along a country lane west of Syracuse, she said, and I saw a beautiful sight, a sky blue garden dissected by the road. It was so gorgeous I couldn't wait to show it to my fiancé. I took him out there the next afternoon, had him close his eyes until we came to the right stretch of the road. We topped the knoll, and nothing. Now he thinks it was a big practical joke. What happened to all those beautiful flowers? The answer, of course, was simple. On a sunny day, all of the chicory blooms close at noon. In morning light, the old saw goes, the cornflower bloom is bright, but after noon it's gone. One other roadside bloom, both colorful and exquisite, was planted there to help hold the soil in place. Those profuse patches of short golden flowers are birdsfoot trefoil. Like all the other flowers I have mentioned in this travelogue, introduced either intentionally or by accident by man, and maintained by their own toughness and by our own constant tinkering with our world. I hope as you motor along the country roads, you'll take time to observe and enjoy. Now that's all for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.